Welcome to Missionize with the Missions Guys, a podcast of the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, offering biblical and practical insight and strategies designed to equip and encourage missions leaders to carry on mission work. The goal is to fulfill the Great Commission from a church's local community to the ends of the earth. That is why we missionize. Now here are your hosts, the Missions Guys, Sam Roberts and Clint Ritchie.
Welcome to Missionize. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Clint Ritchie here with my co-host, Dr. Sam Roberts. And Dr. Sam, the weather has finally cooled down for us a little bit.
Hey, we're wearing vests. It is wonderful outside.
Yes, it
is. My time of year.
Yes. So we've talked a lot about the seasons in the life of a church, the fall time. A lot of harvest events have happened already. Around Halloween, saw a lot of churches celebrating record participation in those events and decisions that were made. Now it's the national holiday or the Arkansas holiday of deer season.
Yes, sir.
Going on.
Come on.
We're looking at Thanksgiving. We know Christmas is right around the corner. Budget time in the life of many churches. So a lot of things going on in the life of a church, but in SBC life, this is a time just recently where churches take a Sunday or encouraged to take a Sunday and pray for associational missions.
Yes.
And so we're a little behind in focusing on that, but today we want to look at our topic of the value of the local association.
Yeah, you know, the idea of a Baptist association really predates the Southern Baptist Convention by quite a few years. This emphasis on local church autonomy within Baptist churches, churches begin to voluntarily form these connections, these fellowships, associations with other churches in the 1600s in England and later in colonial America. Now, those associations, they did not govern the churches. They did not tell the churches what they had to do. But they served as a way just for like-minded congregations, many times where there were a lot of miles in between them, that they could cooperate for fellowship and doctrinal accountability, mutual support for missions. It just goes with the old adage that we kick around quite often, we are better together, and associations prove that.
Yeah, and so we look back historically, associations were the foundational layer of cooperation in Southern Baptist life as they help local churches connect with one another and then connect within broader efforts in missions, evangelism, and even education. Someone said that associations are kind of like the front porch of Baptist cooperation, where fellowships are built and local ministry needs are met.
That's good. That's good. Hey, as I think about associations, and the value of associations. As a student growing up in Northeast Arkansas, my first kind of entry into associational missions was with the youth group, of course, in our association. I got to meet our director of missions, as they were called back in the day,
yeah.
Our associational missionary. It's gone through so many changes over the years. His name was Jimmy Garner. Brother Jimmy was just a jewel of a guy, and he took me, as a matter of fact, he may have been one of the first people that really invested and discipled me, and he did that by checking with my parents and making sure this was okay. But when I was an older student, he would come by in his Volkswagen Beetle, little old, I don't know what year it was, but no air conditioner in that thing, okay, windows rolled down, would pick me up and would take me throughout the association, visiting with pastors, and then later I got to be part of the leadership group in that association with the students, and he just taught me a lot about the value of the association. That stayed with me. All these years in those four churches that I've pastored, I've always been involved in that local association because of what Brother Jimmy poured into me during those years. Today we have, one of the best in our state. And I say that because probably not a whole lot of the AMs are listening to this, but anyway, one of the best AMS that we have, now it's called Associational Mission Strategist. We have Greg Varndale with us this morning from North Pulaski Baptist Association. Hey, Greg, welcome to Missionize.
Hey, it's good to be here with you guys this morning to talk a little bit about the association.
And tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit of family. Tell us about the association, just how many churches, those sort of things, and how long have you been in that position?
Sure. So as far as the family goes, my wife and I, back in September, celebrated our 38th anniversary.
Hey,
we've got we've got two boys, two girls. As children, we have our first grandchild. She's our granddaughter, I should say.
Yeah.
That you know, she hung the moon for us for sure. But we have two boys, two girls. And in the middle of all that, we, you know, we have a set of twins that changed our life forever a lot of years ago. We came here to Arkansas back in the middle of COVID, back in 2020, out of the pastorate. We had been praying about what God had for us next. Matter of fact, when we talked to the association, we told them we were not coming here to retire. We were in Florida at the time, and if we wanted to retire, we could stay there. But that we were coming here because we felt like that God was leading us to serve churches in a new and a unique way. And so we've been here now. We're into our sixth year as the associational missionary here in North Pulaski.
Yeah, I mean, making a move during a pandemic is a great time to move.
Yeah.
A great transition
time. I can't
think
of a better time.
Yeah.
It was unique getting into churches at that time, I will say that.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, usually we do this toward the end of our segment, but let's get to know Greg a little better for our listeners that may not know you. Let's start off with our rapid fire questions since we sprung this on you just a few minutes ago. Favorite meal?
Would be anything seafood. That's probably the thing I missed most about Florida was the seafood.
Yeah.
Favorite restaurant? Before you answer, you are an expert on restaurants in Central Arkansas for sure. So drum roll, what is your favorite one?
I really enjoyed Doe's Eat Place, but in Jacksonville, I love the Barbecue Shack.
Okay, yeah. Go-to relaxation spot?
Usually it's my backyard. We got a beautiful place out back there. I can just hang out there, sleep there, watch TV there.
Yeah.
So when you get kicked out of the house, you're in the backyard asleep.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Besides the Bible, what's your favorite book?
You know, there's been a number of them, but probably back during the pandemic, my wife and I went through the a book together about praying the Bible, and Don Whitney's book. And it was just so very practical for us. As a matter of fact, we've given it out to a lot of our pastors as well. It was sort of life-changing for us during that time that we wanted to share it with others.
Yeah,
any of Whitney's books are incredible.
Yes. Yeah, they are.
Good,
they
good really things are. For pastors to get their hands on.
Yeah.
Solid, practical stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Besides Missionize, what's your favorite podcast?
The Replant Bootcamp. I love
Jimbo. You
know, yeah, we've been involved so much with replanting that's one of those that we go to quite often, listen to quite often, because it's really helped us a lot with churches that are struggling or looking to either revitalize or replant. So being able to have that resource to give them as well has been truly helpful.
All right. Favorite genre of music?
Believe it or not, I like R&B music.
All right.
A lot.
What's the first concert you attended?
My first concert I attended, I took my wife to see, my mind just went blank, Lionel Richie. And Sheila E. was the undercard. And we drove 4 hours there to the concert, went to the concert, and drove 4 hours back to be in class by 8 o'clock the next morning.
And that was the first date.
That was. Right.
First
that
date.
That was the first date.
First date. Wow.
He had her at Lionel Richie.
That's right.
That's the reason she agreed to go.
Yeah.
What's your favorite place to visit?
I love the mountains. Love the mountains.
Ocean guy, and you love the mountain.
Yeah, I don't do well at the ocean. I burn. You know, I don't tan. I burn at the ocean. So, yeah, no, I love the mountains.
Favorite sport?
Favorite sport is football, even though my favorite team does not do well, so they keep me humble.
And the favorite team is?
The Dallas long-suffering Cowboys.
Yes. Well, we're in, at least one of us is in the same boat with you, and we just, you know, long-suffering's a fruit of the spirit, right?
It really is. And it is.
So, well, at least you're not a, you know, Arkansas's not the top of your list as well, so you're an adopted Razorback fan, so we, again, we suffer well. Well, let's talk about associations, especially your perspective as a pastor for a long time and then coming into this role. How have you seen the purposes of the association evolve through the years, and what are the primary functions of the local association today?
Yeah, I think back in the day, the thought was that, you know, the associational missionaries, that's where pastors went to retire. I don't feel, you know, that's not the case anymore. So much of our associations today are contextualized, you know, based upon where they are, the type of churches that they have. You know, we have 44 churches, and amongst them, you know, we have our Anglo churches, our African-American churches, but we also have two Korean churches.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that in and of itself brings a new dynamic to not only what their needs are, but knowing, understanding that every church has a culture, and understanding that church's culture, and then finding out what you can bring to the table to help them to reach their context, you know, their location. You know, all of our churches are they're in communities. They're community churches. We don't have any mega churches. You know, we've got churches with as few as 10, upwards of 800, and each and every of them are needed for the context in which they exist. And so I'm thankful for that. And I think a lot of it, we've gone from being program-driven to really being ministry-driven, in that, you know, we feel like, for us, that we exist for the local church, and therefore our goals and our essentials are church strengthening, church mobilization, and church renewal. And it's not a one-size-fits-all. It really is making sure that the ministry needs of that church, of that pastor, and that location are met, so that they understand that we don't come in and tell them what to do, but we're here to walk alongside them through the good days, the bad days, and all the days in between.
Yeah, Greg, talk a little bit about the support and care that an association, especially yours, and just go ahead and get specific, if you will, there, and how you show support and care for the local pastor that maybe cannot be shown on the state level or the national level.
Sure.
And why that's important.
Yeah, we, pastor's health is really important to us, and so we intentionally have a monthly breakfast, and we have a monthly lunch. And the reason we do so is trying to capture as many of the pastors as we can, but at the same time, making sure that time is their time for fellowship, for encouragement. We don't have outside speakers come in, not because we can't or they don't want to, but we really want to capture their time together. And so, you know, having done that, we've seen the relationships between our pastors grow. There's a lot of laughter when they get together.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, you know, long after we're done, they're still hanging out. They're still having conversations. They're still enjoying one another. And for me, I think that's one of the best things that we bring to them, is a place for them just to be themselves, and a place where their time is protected. It's not another meeting. It's not another training. It's not another, you know, something they have to do, but it's something they want to be a part of.
Yeah, and, you know, pastors sticking around, talking with each other, that support, that encouragement that they receive, that's something we see, like at the annual meeting, econ. You know, a lot of guys never make it inside the room.
Yeah.
They stay up because they love that. I mean, yes. And they need that.
Yes.
So thank you for providing that for your pastors. Pastor, as a former pastor, man, we need that. We need other guys that we can just hang around with, we can talk shop with, we can encourage one another, you know, speak truth into each other's lives, talk about family, those sort of things. So thanks for fostering that among your churches and your pastors.
Yeah, I feel like we have, you know, a family of churches because of the fact that guys do enjoy, the pastors do enjoy. It's not just the pastors. We have the same thing for you know, worship leaders. We have the same thing for student leaders. We've also created a ministry outlet for women who serve in ministry. And so we have found that at each and every time that we've done that, that it's been really encouraging because it's not driven by us, but it's driven by their need for that type of relationship outside of the church.
Yeah. And I really, Clint, I really love the emphasis that Greg puts on every time they get together, there's good food involved.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, there
real,
is.
Real good food yeah. involved.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't do cheap, but we do try to feed them well all
yeah.
the time.
Awesome.
Yeah, and, you know, last year I got to spend a lot of time with your pastors, and there is a lot of laughing and joking and ribbing back and forth, but there's that support element. There's support through mm-hmm. those interactions, but it was nothing to see one pastor praying for another, or that conversation you could tell is deeper than joking. And it is the pastor of the church of 10 and the pastor of the church of 600-800 sitting at the same table together. I mean, and everybody's on a level playing field.
Absolutely, yeah. That's what that's what we love, because you know, at the end of the day, these guys need the encouragement, need the relationships, need the fellowship, as much as anybody else does.
Yeah, and I think that's something, you know, in today's world, you can join various digital networks and, you know, you can jump on a plane and go gather with a bunch of guys, but there's something about the local connection, the local association, the friendships from folks that are in a similar context as you.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've been there long enough now, there's a level of trust there, but even more so than that, you know, they know that we love them, they love us, and, you know, it really shows itself when you're in that room together, sitting around having a meal together. The guys are seeking each other out. They're checking on their families. They're checking on them. You know, not so much about, you know, the church numbers and all that, but how are they doing as a person, as a pastor? You know, how's their family doing? And like you said, and, you know, just praying for one another, reaching out to one another on a regular basis has really been incredible to watch.
Hey, share a story with us of how that support, that encouragement, has had a real impact in a church's life or in a particular community with you know, the value of the local association.
Yeah, renewal is one of those key essentials that we are focusing on, which is church revitalization, church replanting, and church planting. And one of the things that we ask anytime that we are involved in revitalization or replanting or planting is that one of our local pastors adopt that church or pastor going through revitalization, replanting, mm-hmm. or planning. Mm-hmm. And so we have, matter of fact, I was in one of our churches yesterday, Unity Bible Baptist Church,
yeah.
that used to be Bethany Baptist mm-hmm. Church. And then this time in 2022, Bethany decided it was time for them to let go and to allow God to do something new there, and brought to us Maurice Brister, the pastor of Unity. And knowing that in 22, that church was down to about 7 or 8 folks, and knowing that the community had changed over time and there was a need for something different there, and for them to be willing to say, you know, with open hands, here, we want to give you what we have so that God can continue to do something here. And then being there yesterday morning with them as they were celebrating their church's anniversary, but looking out across the congregation and seeing a sanctuary that for almost, prior to 2023, for almost 10 years hadn't been used, and looking out there and seeing a church that looked like the community, seeing, you know, grandmothers walk in with their grandchildren, seeing mom and dads coming, you know, folks that are literally living in that community that are now walking to the church, they're now part, and looking mm-hmm. out and seeing multiple generations, and knowing that we have Second Baptist was really huge in that relationship, partnering with, and so they, anytime there's been a need, you know, they've called, whether it's been David or Jonathan, or And or even, you know, our own disaster relief teams have come and helped them with needs that they've had during during this three years of transition. But just seeing what God is doing there right now in that community and realizing there was a small group of people that loved the local church enough to let go and to let God do something new there. And then standing there yesterday morning in front of them and just seeing what God is doing was just, it left me speechless, but also in tears, because I know that's a need all throughout our state, not
sure
just in North Pulaski.
Yes, yeah, I was going to say, Greg, that that's something that we dream and just envisioning happening across the state. Absolutely. In multiple contexts, because we know we have a lot of churches that are in that same position as Bethany found themselves.
Absolutely.
And how they can you know, they can further the kingdom work in that community through replanting, getting with the church planter. We call it reimagining, you know, that facility. So looking forward to what God's going to do across our state in the coming years with the Renew Arkansas emphasis.
Yeah, you mentioned it about the, you know, we are better together. And, I mean, we've had several examples of that, but that's just one I got to experience, you know, on Sunday.
Yeah, awesome, man. That's a great story.
Yeah, if we can dig deeper into that, I mean, just think about Bethany is not the only church that, that, you know, in Unity Bible. Those are not the only two that have had a similar transition in your association. What stands out to me is how Bethany came to you guys. They knew who to turn to. Yeah. Kind of what steps led them to come to you guys? I mean, to say, hey, we don't look like our community anymore. There's just a handful of us. Let's see how we could repurpose this building.
Yeah, a lot of that has been the relationship that you know, myself and our association has with the state convention, both with the missions team and the church planning team, building those relationships there, and not wanting to accumulate empty buildings,
right,
but wanting to see God do something new there again, and knowing that, you know, we have, you know, for us as association missionaries, we have, you know, the state convention there to help us, to help align guys and who are wanting to plant or replant or revitalize, and having those resources available to us as well. And then seeing, you know, both the local and the state level come together in a partnership, realizing that we are better together. And seeing and being able to tell these stories time and time again when we go to other places and other churches that are in similar situations, mm-hmm. you know, it's not a theory anymore. It's a reality that God can and will do this if we'll just come to Him with open hands and open hearts.
Yeah, that's the God we serve.
Yeah,
you know, redeeming, reconciling. That is our God, and it's so cool to walk with churches through this process of having them to think back to how that church began and the vision that church had for reaching its community.
Absolutely.
And then to say that can happen again. You know, it may look different, but it can happen again under new leadership, new direction. It can be repurposed. You know, and we certainly don't want to see those buildings just sit vacant.
That's right.
Or become something else other than what they were created for.
Absolutely.
You know, built for. It's built to be a light in the community, you know, for the kingdom.
Yeah. And, you know, and to leave that legacy, you know, for that church to be so unselfish enough to say, you know what, let's begin to write a new legacy. Mm. But being willing to hand that off.
Yeah,
and it's huge because, you know, so many of those churches are struggling there. Their memories are tied there. There's weddings, there's funerals,
oh, yeah.
there's baptisms, there's births, there's all those. And so, you know, what we're saying, none of that goes away. We're simply building on that legacy,
mm-hmm.
Realizing that those who went before, who sacrificed to make that church possible in that community, that it's going to continue to live on long after they no longer do.
Right, right. Let's talk about younger pastors that are coming in, first church, those sort of things, or maybe newer churches that are being formed. Are they engaging with the association in the same way previous generations did?
You know, I think that there's a willingness to do so. I don't think a lot of them understand the role of the association, the support that comes from the local church to the association and back. You know, we remind our pastors and churches all the time that we exist for them. Without them, we don't exist. And so we try to make sure that what we do then will enhance their time of ministry there in that church. And so we're constantly asking the questions, you know, what resources can we provide? What needs do you have? You know, if they do have a need, we want to be the first phone call, not the last phone call. Mm. I think a lot of that then goes back to the building the relationships. You know, every Sunday morning I send out a text to every single one of our pastors and have done so since I arrived. And just them knowing that every week somebody is encouraging them and praying for them, helps to open the door to begin to build that relationship. But I think a lot of it is just understanding who we are and what we're there for. And so, you know, we're happy to go unrecognized as long as our pastors, we want them to succeed. We want to celebrate the wins with them. And we want to make sure that what we're doing is for the local church and not for us.
And that's what I think a lot of the younger guys, Dr. Sam, didn't have that person pour into them like your director of missions did, mm-hmm. you know. And so become a pastor, and if they haven't been in other roles to see the value of an association. So I would just encourage anybody that's listening to things, do I really need this? One, you need it for the relationships, if for nothing else. I mean, we talk a lot about the loneliness epidemic. That, you know, the pastors are struggling. Mm-hmm. We see a lot of guys fall because they're on an island by themselves.
Absolutely.
There is protection for that built in your local association.
You know, in our state, there's just a lot of great associational missionaries who love the local church, who love the pastors. They love the area that they're serving, and they want nothing more than to see those pastors and those churches succeed. And so, you know, they're willing to do whatever they can to make that happen. And so I love that about our guys.
Yeah, and that is spread across the state, Greg. You know, I've been invited and I've just attended a lot of the meetings that AMs will have with their pastors, lunch, breakfast, different places. Yes. And it's incredible to see that level of support occurring. You know, for Clint and I, if any other AMs are listening, we love to get those invitations to come, especially when there's food involved, to come and sit down with your guys and have breakfast, just to talk, you know, and to support each other. So I love seeing that happen across our state.
Yeah. I mean, and when we're having something, anybody from the office is welcome to come and hang out because, like I said, there's no agenda. It's just relationship building. And friendship building, and just allowing them the opportunity just to, you know, responsibility for that hour that we're together. But we'll enjoy good food, we'll have great fellowship, and we'll laugh a lot together.
Yeah. Hey, talk a little bit about biggest challenges that you see facing the local Baptist Association.
I think some of that is priorities, figuring what the priorities are. I know we're unique in the fact that we don't own a building. We don't have an office building. Our offices are located in one of our churches. We have an office suite. Finances, money, I think, is another one of those. You know, a lot of our churches are struggling now with insurance premiums. And so when they're looking at where do I cut, typically, you know, Associates is going to be one of those. State may be one of those. National may be one of those. Simply because they only have so many dollars to work with. And so I think that, you know, I think part of it is, you know, associations have to build trust. I think they have to show the relevance. And then I think they also have to focus on the relationship side of things because they're more than just money coming in. And we serve any church regardless of whether they give, send anything in or not. And I think that's the biggest thing that, usually it's, well, you only do something for me if I do something for you. Mm-hmm. And that's not the case. We truly do exist for every single church, every single pastor. But I do think that there are some challenges ahead. I think in some cases, there may be in some states, there may be too many associations. And is there a more effective way to do the same thing with less resources? And so, which for us is why we again focus on the three essentials, strengthening mobilization, because then we can say no to a lot of other things.
Yeah, exactly.
By focusing on those three mm-hmm. essentials.
Yeah. I know early on, when I started getting involved in associations, it seems like the association was just trying to mimic the local church and do everything the local church was doing on another level, that sort of thing, and just had too many things going on.
Right.
It's great to see that focus in on, hey, here are our priorities. If it doesn't fit in this, we don't do it.
Yeah, when I came, our pastors gave me a lot of latitude because our budget did look a lot like a local church budget.
Mm-hmm.
But now we have buckets, and those buckets are the three essentials. And so that allows us a lot of mobility throughout the year as needs arise or things change or whatever to be able to address it. For example, we're doing, with our churches in January, we're going to be doing a winter retreat with all of our student leaders at Camp Perrin. And so, again, these guys are driving it. They're going to lead it. I just simply said, what do you need from us? How do we make this happen for you? And so we have found that oftentimes that's the best way for us to serve is to ask questions. What do you need? Rather than trying to say, here, I need to give you this, or I need to hand you that, or you need to buy this. We really want to make the resources that we have available to our churches at no cost, if at all possible, simply because those dollars only go so far.
Yeah. And so you're taking that budget money that churches provide, and you are investing back into the pastors and into the churches.
We are. Yeah, that's the goal.
That's awesome.
As we begin to wrap up, Greg, just one word of wisdom from you here, maybe. What advice would you give to a pastor or to a church that's currently not involved in their local association?
I think that the local association is probably the best kept secret in Baptist life. And that if they're looking for meaningful relationships, if they're looking for a place where they will be no judgment zone, if they're looking to just begin to build friendships, that their local association is a great place to do that, whether they're bivocational or full-time. And we've got as many bivo pastors as we do full-time guys. But when they walk in a room, nobody knows who's full-time and who's bivo. All they know is that they're serving their local church, their local community. And I think for them that there's a lot to be said for the relationships and the trust that is built in those times they come together.
Well, Greg, we are so grateful that you're in our state, and you are doing an exceptional job of leading the churches there, providing for the pastors the support and encouragement they need. So thank you for that. Thank you for setting a model. And I know that there are other guys around the state that are doing the same thing, but it is so grateful that I'm so grateful that you are leading in the way that you are.
We're glad that, God brought us to Arkansas. We love it here in Arkansas. And one day, Lord willing, we plan to retire here in Arkansas.
Well, awesome. Sounds great.
Yeah, some of us leave the state and get back as fast as we can. You got here just as fast as you could, and now you're not going to plan to leave. So
that is so true.
Yeah. Hey, Gary, again, thanks for joining us. And thank you for joining us, listeners. And just to remind you, if you like what you hear, leave us a review, a comment, and look forward to being back with you in 2 weeks.
Thanks for joining the Missions Guys today. If you liked what you heard, rate and review us on your favorite podcasting platform. And to keep up with what is happening in Arkansas Missions, visit absc.org/missions.